You all are evidence of the important relationship between education and sustainable development. And I have this question for Serena. Why is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics important to you? And what can we do to encourage more students, including more women and girls, to study in STEM-related fields?
That was Simonetta Di Pippo, Director of the United Nations Office for Aerospace Affairs, or UNOOSA, at the landmark Unispace Plus 50 conference in June. Ms. Di Pippo, along with the United Nations Champions for Space, former NASA astronaut Scott Kelly, and NASA Chief Scientist Jim Green, were moderating a live in-flight call to the crew member of the International Space Station, which is widely known as the ISS. I am Fatima E. Mendez, and this is UN News UN Gender Focus Podcast. In this week's special program, we will hear from four women who participated at Unispace Plus 50. Cindy Collins Arsenault, President and Co-Founder of the Secure World Foundation, Ursilia Vado, Chief Diversity Officer of the European Space Agency, or ESA, UNOOSA Director Simonetta Di Pippo, and astronaut Sabrina Onan-Chancellor. They'll be telling us why it is important to encourage more girls and young women to study STEM-related fields, and why having more diversity, including gender diversity, is beneficial to the field of space technology. They'll also be passing on their advice to girls and young women who are considering a career in the whole field. We'll also hear from Teofania Chavazia, Program Specialist at the Education Sector of UNESCO, on the current statistics of female enrollment in STEM-related fields of study. Unispace Plus 50, the fourth conference of the United Nations on the Exploration and Peaceful Uses of Outer Space, was held in Geneva from the 18th to the 21st of June. More than 400 government agencies, private companies, universities, research centers, and civil society participants attended the symposium portion of the conference. The symposium concluded with a historic gathering of the heads of nearly 30 space agencies from around the world. At the end of day one, it was time for women to have their say with the Space for Women Forum. Two of the key participants spoke with UN News. Panelist Cindy Collins Arsenault is the co-founder, board chair, and president of the Secure World Foundation, an organization that works to promote the secure, sustainable, and peaceful uses of outer space. She is also the founder of One Earth Foundation's Our Secure Future program, whose mission is to strengthen the women, peace, and security movement to enable effective policy decision-making for a more peaceful world. UN News' Muna Gassim spoke with Ms. Collins Arsenault. She started by asking her about the landscape of opportunities for women in the space industry.
Well, I think space offers us this great opportunity. The more we kind of move into space, the more we benefit from space, it's going to require new ways of doing things. And I think it's critical that women have a part in that, because we know from so much evidence that when women are involved, everybody benefits. So whether that's economically or politically, socially, we need to have women. And so within the field of space, we have so much need for the whole skill set. And one of the skill sets that women are often able to bring is increased relationship abilities and communication skills. And that's going to be very important as we work across boundaries and look at this new frontier of how we're going to do it.
You sort of answered this before, but why do you believe more women should get involved in the space industry?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that what we're finding is that there are differences in women's brains, and that there are things often attributed to the feminine values that have to do with cooperation, collaboration, relationships. And that those are going to be critical skill sets that we'll need. Because space, you know, it's the universal commons. You can't chop it up into little pieces. And so how we do this is going to require new ways of thinking from things that we've done here on Earth. And women, I think, are able to bring that value add to it.
Why are conferences such as Unispace important in helping to spread the advantages of space science, technology, and exploration, especially to the global community?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this is just the fourth Unispace. So each time it's been able to kind of move the agenda forward. And I know in 99 when they came up with space generation has been added so much, you know, to bring younger people, new ideas into it. So it isn't just a bunch of old white men kind of sitting around determining the agenda. So we need young people, we need women, and new ideas can come out of gatherings such as this.
Could you please tell us a little bit about how space can contribute towards sustainable development?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what we're all here for. You know, we've been able to set some sustainable development goals, and I think space has a role to play in all of those, not just in providing the data and information for things like land use, disaster management, but also in the technology. One of the things is that there is currently kind of a digital divide with women and men. And when women are able to have access to the internet, to cell phones, the use of it is different. It's more applicable to how to improve their community. There's organizations such as World Pulse that connects women all over the world working to have better communities and sharing their resources and ideas. So it's elevating women's voices on what's already being done.
That was Linda Collins-Arsenault from the Secure World Foundation. Astrophysicist Ursilia Vado is the Chief Diversity Officer at the European Space Agency, or ESA. Founded in 1975, ESA currently has 22 member states. Their mission is to shape the development of Europe's space capability and ensure that investment in space continues to deliver benefits to people everywhere. ESA's most famous achievement was the Rosetta Orbiter mission, also known as Europe's Comet Chaser. The Rosetta Orbiter was launched in March 2004, spending 10 years in space traveling across the whole solar system. The orbiter crossed the asteroid belt and traveled into deep space more than 5 times the Earth's distance from the Sun. It reached its target, the comet 67P Churyumov-Gerasimenko, in August 2014, and flew alongside the comet. The Rosetta mission spent 2 years following and studying the comet, ending its mission on the 30th of September 2016, with a controlled crash landing onto the comet's surface. Ursilia Vado spoke with UN News, Muna Gassim.
My key message to the forum is essentially the fact that to imagine the future, to be innovative, to really embrace the challenges that we have had, we need the talents of women. And we should increase the way we attract women to STEM careers, and in particular to careers related to space. Also by providing all through their educational path these elements of wonder, of excitement that a career in science can provide. I used to say, in particular to girls, but this is true for everyone, that space and science give superpowers, because it puts you in a dimension that you will not experience otherwise. And the ability to be able to, for instance, look at the sky, understand that each star, it's a moment in time different. It's a moment past. So time and space are not the same thing, but we are able to do much more than we know to our experience.
Coming from ESA, can you offer some good practices on increasing diversity in the space sector?
A way to increase diversity is really through to a branding that is powerful enough to make understand the young people that space and the jobs of space are not just the 3-4 jobs that you can guess, but there is really such a richness of activities related to climate change, to energy, to exploration. We'll also not just be explorers very soon. We will start to thinking how to start to spend some time out in space. So all these new challenges ahead, in a way, needs the talents of all. And the talents of all is not just the gender perspective, but also people with disabilities that already have the experience of thinking out of the box. And also an inclusive workforce, because you can be diverse, but if you're not inclusive, you don't get the full potential. And I just want to really underline that As ESA, we know the power of diversity, cultural diversity. We have 22 member states plus two speaking about 18 different languages. We have had one currency since 75, like Europe, and we have been able to do together things that were not possible to do alone, like landing a robot on a comet at 500 million kilometers away from here. And this is because we are able to put all these talents and competence together and make wonderful things out of that.
How can space contribute to sustainable development?
Now, space has two aspects, in my view, that contributes. One is the infrastructure. I mean, the infrastructure of space has provided a change in paradigm with respect to sustainable development, because it's a perspective and it's a number of data and it's the knowledge that we need to be able to tackle all these issues in a very scientific way and not emotional way. So space is an essential infrastructure to that. On the other side, this element of inspiration, and I think there is no other activity where you can really get this sense of belonging to something much bigger than you, and just being a little thing, able to ask questions and strive for answer, is something that brings us towards a path of peace. And this is one of the elements of sustainable development, feeling part of something that we share and we have in common and we have to preserve. And I think this is what space offers.
What other message would you like to give?
I think in general, a message that I pass to girls is, first of all, we should not have dreams, we should have goals, and really make that where we start, not just to ask, but to really want things and to go for that. I use this sentence that is, do I dare to disturb the universe? Yes, do disturb it, because the universe needs you.
That was ESA's Chief Diversity Officer, Ursilia Valdo, panelist at Unispace Plus 50 Space for Women Forum. As Ms. Valdo mentioned, space technologies can contribute to the 2030 Sustainable Development Goals, or SDGs. For example, space applications like satellite imaging technology can help manage and monitor natural resources, like water supplies. It can aid in tracking extreme weather events, as well as disaster response, and help identify, prosecute, and curtail deforestation and illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing. But in itself, the study and practice of space technologies and other STEM-related fields can help address at least three equity-related SDGs, SDG 4, SDG 5, and SDG 9. Sustainable Development Goal 4, or SDG 4, aims to ensure inclusive and equitable quality education and to promote lifelong learning opportunities for all. Sustainable Development Goal 5, or SDG 5, aims to achieve gender equality and empower all women and girls. Sustainable Development Goal 9, or SDG 9, aims to enhance scientific research, upgrade the technological capabilities of industrial sectors in all countries, in particular, developing countries. In an interview with UN News, Bibu Mishra, UNUSO Director Simunera Di Pipo, was asked why fewer women went into space sciences than men.
It's not, unfortunately, a problem that we have only in the space sector. However, we have been doing a lot in this field. Myself, personally, last year I became part as a sort of a champion as part of the International Gender Champion Initiative. But we also launched a dedicated program to mainly fulfill SDG number 5 and SDG number 4, which is the quality education, with a project called Space for Women. So what we want to do is to focus on STEM education, so science, technology, engineering, math, in particular for women, and in particular for women in developing countries. So we launched this project for a lot of reasons, but one of the main reasons is to find, let's say, a path through which we can accompany young women towards their career and trying to help them not only to get the right education in the STEM field, but also then accompany them through their process towards a very good job at the end.
We've heard about the need to encourage and promote more women in STEM-related fields, especially the space industry. But what exactly are the statistics? How many girls and young women are currently pursuing studies in STEM-related fields? For an answer to that question, I spoke to Theofania Chavazia, Program Specialist at the Education Sector of UNESCO. She shared with us some of the findings of UNESCO's groundbreaking report, Cracking the Code, Girls and Women's Education in STEM, which tracked the STEM studies from grade school to higher education.
We have more and more girls going into education now than before, and their number and percentage is increasing when it comes to higher education. However, they're not equally represented in STEM fields. We know now that only one-third of students, around 30%, choose STEM-related fields of study. We can also see differences within the STEM disciplines. For example, even within these 30%, we see differences, and the majority go into health and welfare, which is more a traditional feminine study, around 15%, which makes the percentage for the other STEM topics even less. So we're talking about 8% in engineering, manufacturing, and construction, 5% in natural science, mathematics, and statistics, and just 3% in ICTs, which is actually where we observe the lowest female participation. So from those figures, then we can also make estimates about female representation in the STEM careers.
Ms. Chavazia noted that obstacles such as challenges in work and family life balance, along with the glass ceiling experienced by many women in careers dominated by men, contribute to women leaving their studies and careers in STEM fields, even as they progress from bachelor's to master's and doctorate degrees. But with only 30% of women enrolling in STEM-related fields of studies, we must ask what factors influence female students to not even consider pursuing STEM studies. The UNESCO report examined the participation, progression, and achievements in STEM education as students progress from grade school to secondary school by comparing male and female students in grades 4, 8, and at the age of 15 for gender differences in science achievements and mathematics achievements. They found that as the students progressed through the grades, there was a sharp decline in female student participation in STEM education. Ms. Chavazia explained some of the factors influencing this decline in interest in STEM topics.
When we were looking at statistics, we were very puzzled with the outcomes because there was a very diverse picture. For example, girls overperforming boys in countries in Asia or in the Arab states, but in Latin America and Sub-Saharan Africa, girls were seriously underrepresented. So we figured there must be some contextual factors that affect these variations in performance. So we matched the statistics with qualitative studies in order to find out what is happening. And we found that there are multiple complex and overlapping factors that affect girls' participation and progression in STEM. And in our report, the UNESCO report, we have compiled those factors into an ecological model where we're looking at the individual level, the family and the wider societal context, and the school level. Just to take a few examples of the strongest, if you like, factors affecting girls, we will start with probably stereotypes. There are two types of stereotypes that affect girls' choices when it comes to their participation in STEM. The first is that STEM careers are not good for girls. They're not appropriate. They're considered as masculine areas of study and work. And that girls are not good at STEM, meaning that their cognitive capacity is considered to be lower than boys. And these are stereotypes that have been ingrained in a systematic manner and historically throughout not only the learning process, but also the way girls and boys are raised. So by the time they go to school and they are confronted with educational choices, they already made up their minds that STEM is not a field that is good for girls and that they will not be good at them anyway. So it's a kind of a self-selection bias.
Ms. Chavazia noted that parents are the first socializing agents for girls and highlighted the special function of mothers as role models for their daughters. She elaborated on the role and influence of parents on girls.
So we have found through studies that parents' attitudes and perceptions with relation to gender and with relation to academic ability do shape girls' early opportunities, but also the opportunities they provide to their children, opportunities for care, opportunities for play, and opportunities for learning, because sometimes there is discrimination between how we treat boys and girls in the way we raise them up. We also found out that peers play a very strong role with girls' participation in STEM, but also the wider society and the wider context, including social media. For example, in Latin America, we found out that stereotypical messages about girls' ability in STEM were proliferated by girls themselves. So this is something that we need to look at more specifically. And an area that concerns UNESCO directly, which is the area of education, we have found that often by the time they go to school, girls have already been through this process of absorbing and assimilating stereotypes. And in certain cases, schools manage to dismantle those stereotypes, but in often cases, schools only reproduce, unfortunately, those stereotypes.
According to Ms. Chavatsia, teachers are the strongest factors within schools that affect the quality of education.
It is often teachers' attitudes that determine girls' participation in STEM or not. Through the teaching practices, by encouraging or not encouraging girls to participate in STEM, for example, or the expectations between boys and girls, the way they assess their performance, for example, can be biased. And I need to underline that biases can be conscious, but they can also be subconscious, and this is mostly the case. But whether they're conscious or subconscious, stereotypes are equally damaging. And we have found that they can actually affect educational outcome for girls by up to one school year. So girls who have assimilated such stereotypes, they underperform by up to one school year sometimes, which you can see is very, very damaging. Beyond teachers, also there is the issue of curricula. Female characters are often absent from curricula, or they are misrepresented in subordinate roles, for example. So girls do not identify with what they see in science or mathematics textbooks. They don't see positive role models, other women who have achieved in science. So carrying the stereotypes and also seeing this practice reinforced at school, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, if I may say. So by the time they are offered to choose their higher education options, they have already made up their mind too early.
That was Theofania Chavatsia from UNESCO, sharing with us some of the findings of UNESCO's report, Cracking the Code, Girls and Women's Education in STEM. On June 20th, 2018, on the third day of the historic Unispace Plus 50 conference, UNUSA Chief Simonetto Di Pippo, former NASA astronaut Scott Kelly, and NASA Chief Scientist Jim Green moderated a live in-flight call to the crew of the International Space Station, or ISS. The six-member crew consisted of five men and one woman, NASA astronaut Sabrina Onan-Chancellor, who was on her first flight in space. Here is Simonetta Di Pippo again.
You all are evidence of the important relationship between education and sustainable development. And I have this question for Serena. Why is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics important to you? And what can we do to encourage more students, including more women and girls, to study in STEM-related fields?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. I actually get asked that a lot, and I think it comes out of concern. When I was growing up, you know, I grew up with three sisters, no brothers, and it was almost an expectation that in our family that we would go into STEM-related fields because my father was an engineer. But I think what I see nowadays with young girls and young women is they're very interested in learning more about the STEM-related fields, and they're afraid to ask because they feel like they're going to bother somebody and take away their time, and their time is too precious. So what I tell young girls and young women is to bother. Bother people if you're interested in their work. Bother them if you're interested in their research. Get them to tell you about it. Ask questions. If you're too much of a bother, they'll tell you to go away. But until then, ask, explore, discover. And that's the best way for, I think, young girls and women to become more interested in the STEM fields. Don't be afraid. Step up, ask, and bother.
That was ISS crew member NASA astronaut Sabrina Onan-Chancellor talking to Simonetta Di Pippo from the International Space Station. I am Fatima E. Mendez from UN News. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the UN Gender Focus podcast. For more information on UN-backed STEM programs, please check out the UNESCO and UNUSA websites at unesco.org and unusa.org. Please check out more episodes of our podcast on our website at news.un.org, on SoundCloud, iTunes, and other podcast platforms. Thanks for listening.